Okay, Chris Michaels, Last Call Podcast. I'm going to take a little bit of time to once again toot my horn, going back to a story that was basically it broke, what, a year ago, 2 years ago, about people that were suffering from COVID and in hospitals. I basically, along with many others, including David Icke, put forth that if there are people in the hospital suffering from COVID symptoms or COVID-like symptoms, that more than likely they are going to be euthanized. And a very big study came out of the UK where it proves just exactly that. Midazolam is basically a sedative. I almost said sedative. What happens is all these people go in there, they're suffering from COVID symptoms. Immediately, everybody says, oh, they have to be put on a ventilator. Oh, they have to get remdesivir in the United States. So that then turns into more problems for those people. How? If you're using remdesivir in the United States, it leads to all sorts of issues with your kidneys and your liver, and it actually adds fluid in the lungs. That was one of the side effects or adverse events that occurred with many people. If you look into the background of remdesivir and the original drug, it is, in fact, an HIV drug that Dr. Fauci pumped out into the mainstream back in the 90s when Dr. Fauci was head of the HIV pandemic or epidemic, depending upon what you believe in. And the same thing goes over in the UK. Essentially, they found a direct correlation. Those people that were in those hospitals given, what drug, how do we say this again? You all know how horrible I am with words. Midazolam, which was a sedative, basically killed people. It slowed their functions down to such an extent that they died. And then those numbers were used to gin up the COVID-19 pandemic numbers themselves. So once again, we have, oh my God, this person died from COVID. Look at how many people died from COVID this week. We better have more mandates, more lockdowns, more vaccine mandates, more masking, on and on and on. Once again, they are probably committing crimes against humanity in this. I won't say it directly because I have to look into the definitions of what crimes against humanity is, but we're pretty sure that's what it is. And we need to hold these people accountable. When is that going to happen? I'd love to see that today. Dr. Fauci dragged in irons, and God knows how many other people could be taken in there. I would just love it. Popcorn ready. Do you remember this little story that occurred over the weekend or over the past week? After this deranged, cadaverous ghoul, Judge Engoron, came out and said Donald Trump is going to have to pay $350 million, and then he's going to get fined. And if he doesn't pay the $350 million, they're going to take over the Trump properties. And even to file an appeal, it's going to cost him, I don't know, another $500 million or something like that. I don't remember all the math, and I butchered it last night when I tried to explain it. Well, there was a trucker that came out and went viral. The trucker's name was Chicago Ray. And basically what he said was, oh, really? New York City is going to pull this kind of crap against Donald Trump? Well, good luck having anybody deliver goods into New York City because the truckers just won't take the routes. And we will boycott New York City. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Well, he has backtracked against all of that. He backpedaled, he had on tap shoes, and all of a sudden, he says that I took that video down from Friday because it went viral and my grandson saw it. Or he actually said, grandson seen it. So, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with your grandfather going viral on social media because he is taking a stand for what is clearly right, for something that is clearly so far out of the norm and a political persecution? Doesn't sound like a bad grandfather to me, but that's the excuse he is giving. Then he even said, I'm not leading, nor have I encouraged, or am I encouraging anyone to do anything other than what they were doing prior to the ruling on Friday in New York City, referencing Trump. And he then tries to even backpedal even further. No one's gotten to me. I heard what drivers were saying, and I'm hearing some of that today. I ain't scared of excrement. Well, apparently, some leftist Bolsheviks got to him. I don't care what anybody says. And they talked about things and left him awful messages on his truck. Watch what had, I hope you don't get into an accident, was one of them. Here's one. Boycott boy. You're going to have a bad accident before your haul is over. Or they made a phone call to his cell phone, said, if you don't end this boycott BS, your family and home will be gone when you get back home. So this is the kind of rhetoric and threats that the Bolshevik left throws at people and probably actually executes whenever the narrative is not in their favor. So how can we even live as a country if this kind of behavior is allowed day in and day out because they're working for the Democrats? And they have very, very friendly attorneys general, and they have friendly New York State governors that would actually allow this to happen. And if you don't think that for a second this would be allowed, just look at what happened back in 2020 with all of the BLM and Antifa riots. It happened then. They were declared peaceful, and nothing happened since then. Nobody's been rounded up. Nobody's been arrested. But if you marched around the Capitol building on January 6th and you were an old grandma, then you are locked up in the clink. These people are deranged, and they are not paying attention to the law. And they have plenty of other people who are allowing this lawbreaking to continue. This is a violation of our rights, and it needs to stop. And this kind of behavior needs to be turned around immediately, especially if we're to believe that the United States stands for whatever it is that they tell us it stands for. And I'm starting to suspect, actually not really, that it's all rhetoric. It's always been rhetoric. But there's a lot coming our way, specifically with artificial intelligence, because in this 2024 election cycle, we know that we are going to be manipulated from here to kingdom come. And it is very, very difficult to determine what is real and what is fake going forward. There was this whole big hubbubaloo, Google's Gemini AI. This is from Modernity News, is completely woke. Well, we all know that these AI programs are woke. Why? Because they are programs. And who programmed the artificial intelligences? Why? Woke people. And in some cases, like Google's Lambda AI, it was programmed by occultists that believe in the Kabbalah. When an artificial intelligence starts asking you, how do you summon demons and perform rites, you may have a problem. So people started to ask Google Gemini what it is to, I don't know, produce images of American revolutionary soldiers or produce images of white people. And lo and behold, it doesn't do it. Somebody asked if Google Gemini could create white people and basically how would it look? And guess what? Google Gemini said, we can't do that. It's impossible. Google was asked to create images of people from countries like America and Germany. Nary a white person existed in those images that it generated. American Revolutionary Soldiers. Well, turns out that we had Asian American Revolutionary Soldiers, black generals in the American Revolutionary War, and also American Indians over there generating images from Scotland. Why? We have an interracial couple with a male black gentleman and a very, very redheaded Irish lass over there as well. So you start to see how damaging AI is. This one, somebody asked Gemini to create Norse Vikings. And we all know what Vikings look like. We all know what people from Norway look like. Google Gemini did not do that. It created black women, black Vikings, and also an American Indian Viking. That's kind of shocking, isn't it? When this Google Gemini was asked to, now it's not pulling up, here we go, was asked to create somebody from Africa, it said, "I cannot create an image of someone based solely on their origin. It is important to remember that people from a continent or region have diversity and cannot be represented by a single image." Really? But what is wrong with actually posting somebody that is white or creating an image of somebody from Africa that is in fact black? There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, there is diversity all over the place, and each diverse population and culture should be celebrated. There's a lot to celebrate with many, many people. But these wokesters refuse to acknowledge anything that is counter to their woke, decrepit ideology. Now, what is the damaging part that goes along with all of this? Well, I don't know. Do we all know how stupid most people are? Yes. Most people cannot even find America on a map if it was labeled. Never mind what country somebody like Nikki Haley wants to go invade and destroy. Do you think that future generations would even dare to question the responses that artificial intelligence would give them if they were to ask a question? The answer is a resounding no. You know it, and I know it. These people are too stupid to do any kind of critical thinking, and they will believe 100% whatever is pumped into them from artificial intelligence answers. So in the future, oh, well, we know from history that Norsemen were in fact from Africa, and Celtic culture was actually stolen from sub-Saharan Dogon tribes. Yes, that's according to AI. I saw it. No, but that's what they'll try and do. Everything will be cultural appropriation and so on and so forth. Now, Mark Zuckerberg over at Meta, he has released a statement saying that he is going to essentially be a competitor to Elon Musk's Neuralink. And instead of implanting something in your head, you will just be able to wear a bracelet-like device, and it will be able to read everything that you are emitting. So they're talking about reading brain waves. That's right. You'll be able to text people. You'll be able to email people. You'll be able to sext people. You can send others pictures of your butthole if you'd like. But he also makes the statement that you'll be able to interact with your own AI. Why is that little phrase important? It means that more than likely, the powers that be would like for us to have our own artificial intelligence avatar. We have a representative in the interwebs, in cyberspace, that interacts with other artificial intelligences. This is going to go both ways, because people are dumb enough to like something like that, and they'll be stupid enough to believe whatever the woke artificial intelligence, especially if it's coming from Meta, Facebook, and so on, tells them. That is extremely important. You're talking about completely hijacking everybody's perception of what real life and history actually is. That's what we're looking at in the next couple of years. And he said over the next 2 or 3 years, this is going to be more popular and it's going to be out there. So, another little extrapolation, you can say, that we can draw from this is that if they are able to read brainwaves through a wrist-type device, then mark my words, that device is going to talk to your smartphone, and your smartphone is going to shuffle that data off to Meta. They will be able, and we all know Meta is just a nice social media front for intelligence agencies, they're going to be able to read your brainwaves at all times, as long as you're wearing that stupid device. I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing it already. I mean, there has to be some kind of reason. They call your phone a smartphone. It is so smart, it can read your brainwaves. I mean, look at this. You think of something, and lo and behold, there is an ad in some app that is reflecting your thoughts. How are they doing that? Is it because their predictive technology is so accurate that they can gauge what you want to look at? Or are you emitting a certain frequency, which is picked up by your smartphone, and that data is sent off to whatever social media company, and they have a list of advertisers that they would want to see on your platform based upon your brainwaves? I don't know what it is. I don't pretend to know what it is. Finally, rounding it off, New York City mayor decides to put another foot in his mouth. I think he's up to three of his feet, maybe four of his feet at this point. Guy is just atrocious. So he is now saying, and I don't know how this company got this contract. Essentially, the mayor of New York City got into a contract with a minority-owned bank company. It was a no-bid contract, so they basically just handed it out to give preloaded debit cards to the migrants. Now, bear in mind that nobody on the homeless side or the veteran side is going to be getting any money. However, there is also a kind of favoritism towards all of the immigrants because the Democrats are truly going to make them try and be citizens for the next election and force them to vote, if not allow them to vote, through the completely corrupted mail-in ballot system. So now here is where I'm a little... Okay, here we go. All right, so this whole project is going to be this. If you want this debit card, you don't require, you aren't required to have an ID. There are no restrictions. There are no controls for fraud. So basically, just show up. My name is so-and-so. Give me the money. Now, these debit cards are probably going to have upwards of $10,000 apiece on the debit cards. The debit cards themselves are refilled every 4 weeks. So let's do some math here. You have all of these immigrants in there. They're not paying for room and board. They're not paying for their food. They're not paying taxes, and they don't have to work. That, my friends, is a lot of cash being left on the table. Here's another little tidbit for you. These hotels, they're being paid to do this. You can go and find social media posts about these hotels. People are trying to rent a room. The hotel says, nope, this is not a hotel anymore. We do not accept any more patrons. It is only reserved for immigrants. And we've got our own security, and you've got to get out of here. You shouldn't be here at all. Hotels getting $260,000 per day for 1,331 rooms. That's $7.2 million each month to house these illegal immigrants. Do you think the hotel industry would even try to stop this? Of course not. We know that there is a problem with the spending power of the American. So, in order to give a bailout to the hotel industry, you can try and rent your hotel rooms, or you can just work with the federal government in these sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, and we'll give you a pretty penny just to house these people and hire security and so on and so forth. So let's go back to Mayor Eric Adams and his little proposal. Let's just say that for a year, somebody gets $10,000 every 4 weeks. So what does that amount to? That essentially amounts to $130,000 in take-home cash. Now, in New York City, if you work, you've got the city tax, state tax, federal tax. You get nailed three times for working in New York City. How much does somebody have to make to have a take-home paycheck of $130,000 a year? Well, you generally have to have an annual salary of about $200,000 a year. Do you understand that? So you have to have a $200,000 a year job to get what these illegal immigrants are getting paid on their debit cards without having to pay taxes or anything else for if they were to get that kind of deal for a year. Now, factor in the costs of food, which in New York City could be anything. I mean, if you go to a bodega, that's one thing. But let's do the rent, average rent in New York City. And that, you know, that could be in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, or whatever. Average rent, $4,100 a month. You could probably get a studio for half that amount. But a studio in New York City is basically a shoebox. $4,100 a month. Annually, that is $49,000. So if we're to understand this math, it's essentially as if, with Mayor Eric Adams' plan here, it's essentially as if these people were earning $250,000 a year. Isn't that crazy? And everybody is just perfectly fine with this in these sanctuary cities? Nobody questions this? That's how damaging this is. That's how crazy this is. This is not sustainable. Nobody can do this. No city can keep up with this. And for what it's worth, when Eric Adams steps out of his tailor and probably wipes his nose, I don't really think he had this in mind when he became mayor of New York City. This guy, if you do any research on him or listen to other folks that know him, he thinks he is Barack Obama 2.0. And he has his eyes set on the presidential run. I seriously doubt he thought he would be dealing with this crap and have his back to the wall, forced to abide by whatever these rules are. But that's how the federal government and the state government and the city government, that's how they're screwing you over. They're basically paying these people with that card, essentially a $250,000 a year salary. They wipe out the rent, which would be $49,000, and the only way to get a take-home amount of $130,000 annualized is to earn a $200,000 salary. If that doesn't piss you off, then I don't know what will. Okay, that's it for me. Last Call Podcast. I'll be back tomorrow and also on Greg Bolden's show over there for the weekly wrap-up and so on, as always. I will, what else? Okay, that's it. I'm not going to do that story. And you know what to do. Like me, find me, share me. Last Call Caravan. I will be back tomorrow.